It feels so good to be alive. Got all my family by my side. Couldn't wipe this black off if I tried. That's why I lift my head with pride. I got a million miles on me. They want to see how far I'll go. The path was never made with gold.
Yes, what a bop. From none other than the queen herself, B, on set. And we'll have no negative comments, you guys. There's a lot of faces being made here.
I don't know what's going on out there, listeners. If you have negative comments, keep them to yourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been saying that for a year now.
Having negative comments. Please don't.
I think she was talking directly to you last
time. Shut up.
So sorry. Well,
welcome. Good. This is the Black Board Collective Presents Justice and Juice. Oh, wow. That luscious harmony comes because we have all of our legs today, ladies and gentlemen. We
we
and non-gender conforming individuals.
Table.
I didn't mean to. Yes, we are a table or like
we're
a dog.
We're a non-gender conforming table.
Yes.
I'll take that. Yes, we are on the conforming table. And my name is, I'm doing my makeup right now, you guys, so if I sound chaotic, it's because I am. But my name is Casey Rogers.
I want a shirt.
Why did I say my last name? I don't know. I never do that.
Now you know, Googler.
This is a very formal podcast, apparently.
Yeah, suddenly this is very formal. I showed up dressed like the Oscars, apparently.
Yeah, you did. You did, and you look lovely. What? I didn't know that I was meant to
I'm not going to lie. Your mic is blocking your whatever you're wearing, so it looks like you're naked.
Well,
yeah, that's what you wear to the Oscars. Right?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that not how you plan to go to the Oscars?
That's how I'm going to go.
I thought Paige's top was that. Like, it was like this really, I thought it was dress top.
The funny thing, I'm literally in sweatpants. So I love this. Thank you so much.
But sweatpants and a tube top, though, is actually celebrity on their day off. It makes you feel great.
Well, it's a day off.
Yeah. I've heard of it once, never experienced it.
She's a Virgo, by the way, guys.
Wow, I've been trying to introduce myself for 20 minutes. I am Casey.
You said your full name.
I did. I'm supposed to tell them what I'm drinking. Welcome to this
podcast. Please tell us.
I'm drinking water. I'm drinking reheated coffee in a cute little Central Perk mug. Shout out to Laska Music and her fiance. This really garbled friend's cup has a little bit of beer left in it that I had with my lunch.
Wait. I love that you had beer with your lunch.
I'm sorry. Yeah, what is happening?
Yeah, so we bought this really cute set of Friends glasses, and we didn't read that they were not dishwasher safe. So now it's just like random text, just like spam. Oh,
I love that. That's
on funny. The glass.
A little bit of beer at the bottom. Little
it's actually
beer.
Better.
Shout out to Mason. A little bit of beer.
Again, if I sound chaotic, it's because I am. Pajit, please. Tell us something. Tell us all the
just
things.
Anything. Hi guys, what's up? It's Paige. I'm here just drinking some water, and it's white wine season again, so I'm gonna get a lot of flack from the gals on this podcast.
We prefer melanated beverages. I think we've said this.
I know, but melanated beverages are served room temperature and it's like 80 degrees outside. I can't do it.
Break the rules. Rebel, throw some ice in there.
It's not even a chilled red wine.
I can't support that.
Yeah, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Throw some ice and throw apple in. You got sangria.
You know what? I'm drinking my white wine. Thank you.
What?
Juan. Laska. Yes, that's me. That's what they've turned me into here. Laska Music, what about you? What are you doing?
Laska here, activist, artist, asshole. I've been doing anything. I'm actually just sitting here and I have nothing to drink. So I've broken all the rules and I don't really care.
Not even water? Are you okay?
One roll, Alaska.
I've had water, but it's over there, and I'm not going to go get it.
I mean, okay. I just would like to encourage everybody, Casey, to hydrate.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. You have multiple beverages in front of you. You have enough for everyone.
I always have multiple beverages in front of me.
Wizard, what are you doing? What are you drinking?
Wow. Oh my God. Get friends that don't scream at you, you guys.
What's that?
Get friends that do not raise their voice because it's
loud in here. Well, I'm drinking some non-alcoholic bitters and soda. And then I add a little
You
bit
are Casey.
Of,
uh-oh.
And I added a little bit of agave to it because the mix has two versions. One where it's like a spritz. It's got like some sweetener and it's all done. And this one is like the version that's just kind of like ready for more like a flavor profile versus like a soda. So
it looks really pretty.
I like the sweeter one better. So I did a little agave on this.
Yeah, I actually bought that soda and bitters combo. You get it from Whole Foods, right?
Uh-huh.
It's called Hella.
Yep.
Yeah, I got it recently because, you know, my love for bitters. And I put it in my cocktail for the Oscars party that I had, which it was great in. But I tried to drink it alone, and it's bitter. Like, bitters.
There's two flavors. Like, there's dry and there's spritz. You probably bought the dry one.
I got the dry one because that's usually my jam, and it was a lot. I had to add a bunch of stuff to it to drink it.
That's what this is, and so I just added some agave in it.
Word. That makes sense. Pajit, do you have a black business to share?
Do I? I do.
It's my favorite.
I do it just for you. All right. The featured black business on the Black Work Collective website right now is Project Q. Project Q Community Center is a nonprofit organization that provides safe space for LGBTQIA+ youth. At the community center, LGBTQIA+ folks with housing insecurities can receive free mentorship classes and workshops, therapy, along with free gender-affirming haircuts. They pride themselves on being 100% inclusive and a safe space where everyone is welcome regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, size, ability, and income. You can follow Project Q on Instagram at project_Q_, or you can head over to the blkboardcollective.com, scroll down and click on the green learn more button, and it'll take you to their website. We love Project Q around here, especially in these very trying times.
Yes, we do. So go support.
Bam, 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 bam.
Yes. All right, shall we jump in?
Yes.
Let's do it.
I mean, we know what we're talking about, and I'm honestly like,
I really can't. I can't do it.
Wait, can we start it with the way that Casey and I were going to begin it, which was basically me remembering that Casey was having a housewarming party that was also an Oscars party. And then I was like, wait a minute, how did it all go down with your housewarming party extravaganza?
Oh, I will tell you how it went.
Alaska was there. Please,
beverage competition, and it's some bullshit. Because
her cocktail was insane.
I pulled the out the fucking shit.
Wait, you guys did a cocktail competition?
Yeah. So we assigned each movie that was nominated for Best Picture to different people, and there was a cocktail competition. So ultimately, The West Side Story won, but Laska had the Don't Look Up, and it was insane. Like, Laska, please tell me.
What did you do? Tell me everything you did.
Yeah, it was fucking dope.
It was insane. It was
a tequila-based, I had some serrano peppers.
Yeah.
I didn't muddle those because I didn't want it to be too hot. So I shook it with some tequila, like a splash of mezcal. There was basil, lime juice, passion fruit seeds. I basically shook, and there's a little agave. I shook that, basically
which she
dumped it.
Set on fire.
Then I took a passion fruit shell, put rum in there, and then caught that on fire.
Gorgeous.
And then I didn't win.
Gorgeous. No, it was this,
okay. I mean, wait, can we have more cocktail competitions? I want to be a part of this. You guys know that when I was working at the LA bar, when I was working at Everbar, that's what we used to do. We used to make Oscar menus.
Yeah, I know. I actually got the idea from that because I remember going to Everbar around the Oscars and being so stoked that yes. Well, so yes,
I know I sound super bitter, but honestly, like, the West Side Story was a really delicious drink too. So, like, you know, hats off.
It was so good, and she came in like nobody expected. Like,
who
we saw
was
last.
Who drink. Won?
It was B's cousin.
Iconic.
And what it was like, It's a traditionally like, Puerto Rican drink because she was staying on par. Okay,
it was
for
like
West
horchata on the rocks though. It was pretty much tasted like horchata. Though.
It was like close horchata, to. But it was like a little bit different. I don't know. It has.
Alaska lit like, shit on fire and didn't win. I don't know. That is.
I know.
And you it know was what? Good.
Alaska, it you was so good. You would have got my vote.
This is my theory. Had she come in vote. Before me and I would have gone after her, I would have taken it.
Maybe. Yeah.
You it's know because what? She came no at the end. Shade
it was the last
her.
Drink everyone drank. You know what I mean? Like everyone tasted. They're like,
I mean, hers had this like, because Laska's drink was so good. And I will say again that I voted for Laska's drink. But her drink had this very like, it made you feel like home and like home. Christmas and like you were like sitting next to a fire. So it was a more universal drink. Whereas Laska's drink, like if there were people who were like, oh, I don't like tequila, you know, that's
right. Or mezcal.
Like,
yeah. Or
that's
fair.
I think that's really what happened. That's fair. But it
but
was
keep,
so
but
much
keep that
fun.
Recipe. Put that in your little black book of recipes that we all have. And bust that bitch out another time.
Yeah. Y'all, our party was...
I actually... Yeah, that sounds so fun. And two different people. I'm now getting excited for your birthday so that I can come... We can, like, bartend together.
Yes. Yes. That'll it's going to be great. And two different people
we'll
went home
like,
with...
trashed. Like, what?
Oh. On the first night last year of Casey's birthday, I got everybody, like, wasted. And I was, like, chilling. Because
yes,
I was
did.
Pouring everyone's drinks. And I was like, oh, a double for you? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
I got everybody drunk. It was a great time. I thought it was fun.
No, we had the best time.
What I'm here for.
And two different people went home with cash prizes from my party. Like, we didn't think about the fact that that was going to happen, but we were deliberately giving a cash prize for the cocktail competition. But then Mason brought this Oscars game for people to, like, wager on who was going to win and things like that. And different votes were attributed to different categories. So the person who won that also got the whole pot. So they got a cash prize, too. I was like, what a night. People are leaving here with blessings. I'd love it.
Oh my God. They love that.
So yes. So obviously we all also experienced the moment that everyone keeps talking about. And here's what I'm going to say about this. I will tell you about the moment that it happened because like what happened at my place because there was a crowd of people was very funny of us all just trying to be like, wait, what just happened? Was that real?
Right,
no, yeah. That was a bit. No, it wasn't a bit. Yes, it was a bit. You know, people arguing back and forth on if it was a bit. And then us seeing the jump cut of live television, like where clearly there was somebody in the booth who didn't know what the fuck to do.
And it was just like silent for a second. And you're just like,
yeah. And then when it came back on, Will Smith is just yelling and we're like, what? And then obviously everyone gets on their phones, which I will say prior to this moment, nobody had their phone. So I shout out to
good job,
like, yeah.
Shout out to me for throwing an amazing party.
Yeah, for us being engaged at the
party. I don't think any of us were Gen Zers, so I feel like that's...
Yeah, nobody... I realize we also have... I have zero pictures from that night. Like, that's how much we were not on.
No, but see, that's so fun. That's such a fun night.
No, you have one. You have one picture from that night.
Oh, of me eating pizza out of Mason's hand.
that's the best photo, and that's the only photo you need.
Yeah, and Mason's giving me the most insane face.
It's a ridiculous picture. But yeah, so that happens, and then everyone takes to their phone and obviously looks up like the Japanese, the thing that aired in Japan and in Australia. And so then we get to see that it was not, in fact,
not a bit,
and that Will Smith actually did slap Chris Rock on live television. And here's the thing I'm going to say about it, is that what has been more frustrating to me is the aftermath of it. The slap itself was a crazy thing to see on live television. But it also felt like something that had history to it. It felt like something that was also kind of none of my business and that they were going to work out later. But I just feel like all of the I'm exhausted by everybody's having an opinion. I'm exhausted by so much of it. I'm exhausted by everybody needing to have an opinion on something that has ultimately nothing to do with them, where the person who was actually slapped has been like, I'm not pressing charges. Honestly, I understand where he was coming from. I probably took it too far. These are all things that Chris Rock has said. So if Chris Rock, the man who actually got slapped on stage, is not in an uproar and asking for Will Smith to be punished or for him to be even escorted out, then why are you? Is my question. The other thing is we're allowing the media cycle to take one moment and let it rob every other moment that existed in the Oscars from receiving its limelight. Like the first openly queer woman of color, the first openly queer woman of color won her Oscar. Yeah. That's fucking huge. The first deaf man won an Oscar. That's
Questlove.
Huge.
What an Oscar.
Questlove won an Oscar. Like Coda is, I think it's the first Netflix film. And the first film to premiere at Sundance that also won an Oscar.
Oh, it's Apple.
Apple?
Yeah,
Apple. Okay. Well, whatever. First streaming service Oscar. So there were so many wonderful firsts in this Oscar. So many positive moments.
Including
Will Smith finally winning his Oscar. Because let's not forget, like, his entire career in history and how long he is. The fact that he doesn't already have an Oscar is actually absurd. So, like, yes, thank you so much. Like, a long time coming. So, anyway, I guess I've just been really, like, a little, like, very sickened and sad of about what it means to be a celebrity, what that does to any moment that you have that is out of character, to any moment you have where you are not absolutely perfect. It's just a bummer. It's a bummer on so many levels. Yeah. So what are you guys? Tell me. Where are you at?
Lester, go for it. I personally just don't think that like a bunch of white people need to have opinions.
That's been my other thing is that most of the outrage.
There's just a lot of posts that I'm seeing with like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of commentary, like comments and you know what I mean? With all white voices in the, you know what I mean? Like when I went through all these comments, I was reading one, when I went through all these comments, there was one woman of color in there who actually had alopecia who was talking about what that feels like to actually have to go through that and the kind of treatment that she had to endure with having that condition, and the people still in there were like, fuck Will Smith. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, wow, y'all don't, first of all, don't know him. Like, you don't know him.
This man.
But I just wonder if the tables were turned. I'm wondering, like, if this was a white dude, like how quickly that this would be swept. I don't know. But I'm wondering, because it happened to be a black man that went up and did this, that this is why the conversation continues. It's Will Smith. There's the platform. It was on TV. These are all things, but it's like the little pockets of people, like people I don't even, people I haven't even seen or talked to, you know what I mean? Like in Alaska or like small theater groups, you know, of just white people having these conversations of like tearing him to shreds, tearing his career to shreds.
Yeah.
On the internet. And I'm like, I'm like, okay, well, you're entitled to your opinion, but you're not even, you know, you're just mad that he did it. Like, no hitting. We all know that you should.
I was going to say, okay. And also, if you really think about it, like, this is appalling because we don't see things like this on live television, especially not at something like the Oscars. So it's shocking. True. Yes. And violence is wrong. Absolutely. But when it comes down to it, y'all, Will Smith open hand slapped another grown ass man. Like, he did not punch him. He didn't bring a gun. He didn't say, you know, there was no, if we want to talk about stripping Oscars, let's look at all the people who have Oscars, who have done, who are rapists, who are people who have been physically violent, like domestic abuse, who are, you know, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
Adrienne Brody, also, literally, when Halle Berry won her Oscar, Adrienne Brody, like, forced a kiss on her on stage. And she has since said, like, I didn't want to kiss him. And he's fine. He's got an Oscar. Like, everything's fine.
What about fucking John Wayne, who was held back by six people when an indigenous woman went up and said, to accept the Oscar for Marlon Brando, and said, he can't accept this Oscar because of how you're portraying indigenous people in film. And John Wayne was going to go up there and physically harm her. They had to hold him back while she was being booed. What about that? Are we just going to ignore that?
Like, I mean, and also, let's not ignore Marlon Brando himself. He has quite the history of violence in his own right. So all I'm saying is, like, let's recontextualize.
People are flawed.
Your favorite celebrity is a fucking human.
We're human.
All I have been wanting to say over and over again is that your favorite celebrity is a human. He has made a mistake. He has admitted that it was a mistake. He has apologized.
Who's the comedian that was there who The one that I can't stand, who does the tampon commercial.
Wanda Sykes?
No, she's white. She's a white girl. She's a white lady.
Oh, Amy Schumer.
Yeah, Amy Schumer. Yeah. But apparently she's come out to say that she's, I'm not trying to be, but she came out to say that she was triggered and traumatized from this. And I'm just curious on your guys' thoughts about this, just because I'm like, well, I feel like Will Smith was triggered, because obviously his response was in a moment of an emotional response. But I'm like, what, based on, like, I think that's because they're talking about how, and I don't remember, I don't know who I'm quoting right now, but they were talking about how now comedians have to, I think it was Kathy Griffin who said something about how now comedians have to be scared for their lives, that someone's going to come up and harm them when they're doing a set. Well, honestly, this has changed everything, no, apparently.
It's just, like, not true.
And Amy Schumer's traumatized.
And like, I have kept my, like, I just think, like, okay, one, that's ridiculous. Comedians are not a protected class of people. Comedians are fine. Comedians are going to continue to be able to do what they want to do, what they want to do. They're going to be able to say what they want to do with minimal repercussions. This is a joke that was about a black woman, who black women are the most unsafe people in the world, in America, in... So what class of people are we trying to protect here? People who choose a job or people who walk around vulnerable just because of their skin color and their gender?
Yeah,
like, that is my question.
Yeah, what the fuck is she triggered about? Like, what, I mean, just viewing... Again, people are acting like, y'all ain't never seen nobody get slapped. I'm just so confused. It's like, this is not the biggest thing. And maybe it's just a part. I also feel, it feels very much like, because this was black man to black man, and also two men that, like, I feel like in black culture, we've all grown up watching. It did very much feel like, we'll handle this in-house. You guys, excuse yourselves. Like, let us go back. I'm sorry. The family reunion gets crazy.
You knew it. Yeah, like, you just get that. Yours.
The problem is that I did it out here and not back there. But you I would have dropped you at the spades table if I could have. But you did the shit on stage, right. And so now I had to do. You know, so
I'm getting this ass whooping real quick. Like, right? No. Like,
just stuff. And it's like little boy slap box. All the time. I've thought it was stupid since I was a kid. But do they do it? Yes. Are they actually boxing, like, they're angry boxing? No. But you said something stupid, now I'm going to slap you. And they're going to go back and forth and slap each other until they're done. And that's just how... I'm just like, why are we acting like he wielded a gun or, like, stabbed him or, like, any heinous... Like, in movies, we watch so many more violent acts than somebody, again, open hand slapping somebody. On Real Housewives, you see worse. Like, what are we talking about? This is so ridiculous to me. And I get that it's violence, and this is not me saying that it's correct, even though if I'm being honest, it did not bother me, because I was like, yes, stop talking about that man's wife. It's not your first time saying shit about his wife. He probably told you once offline, stop saying shit about my wife. You got on stage in a very public platform, and you didn't respect that, and now you got slapped. And sometimes that's what happens. You get popped, and you know you went too far. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened. He got popped, and he was like, yep, that was too far. Great. We good. Like that, and that can be the end of it. But now
it's not, because everybody else is creating.
Yeah. Oh, so ridiculous.
Well, if I could interject for a second, I think it's important for us to, and we do this a lot on this platform, is to, like, make sure that we understand that just because we have one lived experience doesn't mean that we have another's lived experience. So I think this moment is very, very unique for lots of different viewers and how they are watching it and what it means to them. And so everyone has a very valid point. We allow opinions on social media for things like, is a dress white or blue, or is something this or that? And we argue about all of those things, let alone something far more obviously thought-provoking, right? This is a very visceral thing that we all watched versus, you know, what color is a dress? So we used to have opinions, and I think it's important. I think the discourse isn't all bad, and I'm hopeful that something good will come of it somewhere down the line. that's how I, you know, perceive this. But I do want to ask
Chris
a question
Rock's
to you
gonna guys. Have material for the rest of his fucking life.
That's true.
I take the side of the comedian in the sense of like you're at a semi roast at an award show. Like you have to just take a deep breath. You're in the front row. People are going to comment because that's what their job is. And if your job also is to take it, and it may be difficult, it may be tough, but I don't believe that the stage is the correct place to attack somebody. I just don't believe that, but that's fine. I don't think less of Will Smith for that. I actually want to pose a question to y'all. So what Will said afterwards, and obviously he had a lot of emotion going on, but one thing that I feel like is happening sometimes with some of our favorite celebrities today in particular is that they have this like calling for, they feel like they're speaking on behalf of a lot of people, this pressure on them.
Yeah.
Like I represent so much more than just myself. And so I have to act a certain way or be a certain way or be something much larger than me. So I wanted to ask you guys what you think about his speech, what he said, and if you have any thoughts on that, any notes on that, because I have some. I want to first open it up to the table to speak.
The only thing I wanted to say real quick about what you said is I do agree. I don't think that stage is the right place to like, I don't think that violence should be an option, but I don't think that that was the option in the moment. As you know, when people are triggered or have emotional responses to things, there are things that any of us, a number of us could say that when we are emotionally triggered by something that we acted in a specific way without our brain. And I think that's actually scientific. Someone pull it up that it's not connected. Your body goes into a specific, does a specific thing. And then you're like, fuck, I don't know what oh shit, that was not a good thing. I shouldn't have done that. And again, that's not an excuse, but that is the reality of maybe at least
of
the situation.
Being a human.
So it's of being a human being. And so it's like, I think I have to look back and actually I'm going to pull up a speech again, just cause I want to see the words in front of me. But to give you a more accurate response, but somebody
and I think even more so to your point of like, it's yes, you're at a semi roast at an award show, and yes, it's a part of your job as a celebrity and public figure to take it. But I also realize the humanity in like, God, Will and Jada take so much on the chin all the time. They have done, we've seen them do it over and over again, be the butt of every joke. You know, like. And that's rough. I think that wears on anybody. And I think that most people, there will be a line. And I think that his wife's health being the line is not a crazy thing. That being the thing that made him act out of character to me is not an insane thing. Is it right? Which I will say again, no, I will agree with you. I don't think that I don't think that the stage is a proper place to attack anybody, but I also don't think that there's really anywhere that's quite appropriate to, to do. Like, I don't know that it's ever like the best choice, but do I understand the choice? Yes. Do I empathize with people who are expected to constantly take verbal abuse and just be cool about it? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's fucking terrifying to me because where I want to go in my career, I could possibly end up in that very seat. And that sounds horrifying to me, to be on public display, to always have to keep it together, to be going through something that is attacking my physical appearance when I've spent my life in a career that is so about my physical appearance, always feeling that microscope in so many more ways than one, but also feeling the pressure to, as a Black woman, be an example and be a positive face for other women who are doing this thing and trying to take it in stride and be positive and be open about it. And then to have somebody make a stupid dig about it in this very public
after
arena.
After you just got yourself there. It's like,
that's after I just got myself there, after I probably, you know, whatever she had to go through. I know for me, if I were in her position, I think it would be, I would feel something about going to the Oscars, you know, my first year having alopecia and being bald. I would feel something about that. And so anyway, I'm just saying I just have a lot of compassion and empathy for the seats that both Jada and Will are in right now. And I think that I just hoped that more people would be thinking on the empathetic side. On the ramifications and consequences and punishment and that side of things. But that's the easier place to go. But what I'll say about his speech is go ahead, Laska.
No, I just wanted to backtrack on some of the stuff you were saying real quick, but I don't want to throw your thought process. So
no. Go.
I was just going to say, I've also noticed a lot of people talking about, like, just they're throwing out words about him, like what's wrong with him? He must be, like, something must be wrong with him, or like his mental health is off. You know what I mean? These things that, like, you don't know. Like, yeah, sure, we're all going through some things. You know what I mean? But, like, yeah, if your wife is going through a medical condition, I'm sure there are things within that as a relationship and as a whole, right? Having to support somebody going through that is rough. But people are just, like, watching and rewinding the tape on him, basically being like, he was laughing at this, you know what I mean? Like, laughing at the joke and laughing at the stuff. And all I have to say about, like, triggers and things like that from my own personal experience, having gone through a lot of things. Example, I just had to pull out of a piece of work that I was working on with somebody because it triggered me, and I don't necessarily know why. I know what it connected to in me that I went through before, but I don't know what in the piece of work that I was working on, what made me literally emotionally have a breakdown.
Wow.
And I'm just saying that it is very possible that nothing was caught up with him in the moment of this happening other than that something triggered him and his body reacted out of survival.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because our bodies don't know. They don't know the difference. It's like, you're in survival. Boom. I got to do the thing. I got to protect. Bam. And so I agree with you. I just wanted to agree with you that I don't think people are looking at it. The majority of people are not looking at him as in a very empathetic way. And that makes me really sad.
It makes me so sad.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
So
go ahead. You were saying something about his transcripts. I didn't want to, like.
Yeah, no. I was saying something about his speech, and I'm not pulling it up, so you'll probably have a more, like, specific response. So I do want to get to that. But I remember my experiencing his piece, which we had to work for because my TV stopped working, y'all, when his speech started happening. And we were like, are they cutting off his speech, Jesus? Like, don't take this moment away from him. And so then it was on a phone, and we were all huddled around the phone. Anyway, and I felt even worse for him during that moment because I was like, oh, I know this is not how you wanted your Oscar night to go. And I was like, you're going to spend most of your speech apologizing. And that sucks because you've had such a body of work and such a career, and you've done so much for other Black actors coming behind you. That's a bummer. But what I will say is that I appreciated both the grace in which he approached the apology, the obvious balancing act that he was having to do with emotions from winning and emotions from having just being consoled by Denzel Washington and Tyler Perry, who both came to console him right after, which I thought was beautiful. And was thankful that he had that night. I've also read Will Smith's book, and I know I see a lot of people have been like, and him saying that he's still in character is a cop out. And I don't think that he was saying that he still is in character, but I do think that, and being an actor myself, you do take things from these characters, that your character lives in your body. And it, especially when you're an actor like Will Smith, and he talks about in his book, having trouble letting go of 6 degrees of separation. It was the beginning of his career, and he didn't understand what that was to, like, make that separation between yourself and your character. So it's something that he's had to actively try to learn his way out of. After he did Ali, it was so hard for him to stop speaking that way. So what I'm saying is that this is an actor who has history of having the residue of his character stick with him. And what a character to have stick with you, especially for a situation like this. So I don't think that that's a cop-out, but I do recognize how it can sound that way from somebody who doesn't have personal experience with transforming into a character. I don't think it excuses his actions, nor do I think that's what he was trying to say. I think he was just expressing something that was truthful in him in that moment. And outside of that, I don't really remember having visceral feelings. I mean, I was crying. I was so happy for him and so sad for him at the same time. But I don't remember any other specifics that I felt anything about. But maybe when you guys talk about it, it'll trigger memories.
Go for it, Alaska.
No. I was reading through it. She said a lot of what I was going to say anyway, but I mean, I don't know that there's much of a difference in my opinion, to be honest, with what he said. I agree mostly with what you said about him having to do a balancing act in that moment. kind of having to catch up. And then it's like, yeah, you won on top of this, you know, happening. And I think he could only say in that moment what he could say. Like, that's, yeah. I really think that's just the truth of the matter. I know that he did publish like a formal apology, I'm sure, from his team, and they did create that. But I don't know. I don't have much more of an opinion than that. You guys?
Yeah, I don't really have. I am going to kind of like jump back a little bit to what the Wiz said. Because I think that this has kind of been a conversation that has happened a lot frequently, especially with Dave Chappelle and a lot of comedians being like, well, it's a joke. And I can't help but think that, like, I just want to live in a world where, like, some things are protected and some things are not going to be laughed at unless the person that suffers from that thing is laughing, is saying the joke. Like, I just think that there are certain things that aren't, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's not funny for, you know, like me, a white woman, to make a joke about a black woman that is racially toned, or like, there are certain things that are just not funny. And I just think that a woman coming to the Oscars with a bald head for the first time because she suffers from a disability is not funny. And I just kind of wish that comedians would understand that, like, sometimes laughing through the pain, you're not laughing through the pain, you're laughing at somebody. And that is different. And I think that, especially with like the whole Dave Chappelle controversy, I just think that it's a conversation that we are going to have for a long time, because comedians have always been the ones who like push the envelope and like blah, blah, blah. But there are plenty of successful comedians out there that do not make fun of people for things they can't control. And I just think that is something to me that I just talk, like, I just think about that a lot. And I think that, I don't know. I understand that it's an art form and it's something. And I like it. Some jokes are funny, but there are certain things that I just don't think should be joked about.
Lassie, go ahead.
This has specifically to do with alopecia, so I wanted to jump in, but I was reading comments and I wanted to just read what a woman said on here, but somebody else had written, somebody that we know, Casey, wrote basically that they had just said that Will Smith, they should take his Oscar away and put him in a room where he has to hear bald woman jokes all night to be able to get it back. That was his quote. And then something else about him burning in
hell. I know this person.
Yeah, we both know him. Anyway.
Do I know this person?
Wait.
I don't know. I don't know, but listen, the point of this is like, the reason that I'm saying this is because it so rubbed me the wrong way. It's like, people are so insensitive. Like, she's not, what you were just saying, Paige, it's not by choice. This is a medical condition. And so
put the name in the chat. Who is this?
I know, I was just about to say, I was like, put it in the chat.
You really want me to tell you?
Yes.
Yeah. We're not going to bust him out on air, but I want to know who it is.
Yeah. That's insane. Like, what is wrong with people?
And it was like, really sad. Just, first of all, it was really sad that actually it was this person, because I was like, oh, that's really unfortunate. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
It's just really sad to me that we live in this world that's like so unsympathetic towards people. Like, I might get a little bit emotional, but I did start my period today, and I'm really sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I just think, like, it's so hard for people to walk around sometimes. Like, it is so hard for people to get up and, like, do shit with their day. And then, like, comedians just, like, walk through the door and they're like, well, I'm a comedian. I can say whatever I want. And, like, yeah, you can, but, like, at what cost? At what cost are you doing that? Yeah. Getting up is so hard for people sometimes. And, like, why don't you just want to bring joy? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I've never wanted to ever cry on this podcast, but like, I just, it's so
frustrating. I've cried so many times on this podcast.
I just like, I met somebody a couple years ago. We bartended together and he said something to me. It was pretty much that. Like, I was just like, Daniel, you're the nicest person I've ever met. And he was like, I just know it's hard. Like,
everyone struggles and I try to make everyone's walk through life just easier and better. And I just wish that people existed like that instead of like getting on stage in a joyous occasion where everyone's not so terrified. We've all been so terrified for the last 2 years. In our industry, we've been so scared. And this was supposed to be this exciting thing. And it was so diverse and like amazing things happened. And then like, you get on stage and you make fun of a woman because she's losing her hair. Like, it's just, it was just tasteless. And I can't.
Yeah.
I can't with that. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, no, don't stop. Sorry. I don't want that.
but I do want to read this because this is about alopecia. And I think it's really important that people understand what it is and that what women go through or what people go through when they have alopecia. And like, it's not just like, oh, I lost my hair and that's the end of that.
Right.
This woman said, alopecia is a medical condition that directly affects mental health, self-esteem, body image in a humiliating way. You have very obviously never known or loved an alopecia woman. Are you familiar with any of the treatment options for alopecia? They're pretty excruciating and often involve the injection of steroids to the affected areas. At my worst, I had to go in for steroid injections over a 2-day span because it was just too many injections to do in a single business day at a medical practice that has to see all other patients. Literally hundreds of shots in my scalp each day. Why did I opt for such painful treatment? Because it was exponentially easier than being a woman without hair. Hair is tied to femininity, and Black women's hair especially has been a particularly difficult issue along with the defeminization of strong, fit, muscular women. Jada did not shave her head as an expression of personal style. It wasn't something she wanted. So many people commenting have no idea how devastating of a condition alopecia it is, and it shows. And I had to read that because she was the one person of 200 comments on another person's post that we know.
Oh, God.
Who wrote this. And I was like, wow. And I had to stop myself from even saying anything in the commentary because I was like, oh boy. Yeah. Like, we could go down this rabbit hole, but I'd have to rip every motherfucker apart in here. And it's just like, wow. Yeah. Do I have the time? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, but for real. So anyway, go ahead, Zach.
I just want to just, again, play a little devil's advocate on this, but you guys have said such beautiful things and I'm not trying to, you know, push any buttons, but I do feel that the joke was not good. He was not making fun of her condition. He was making a reference to what her hair looked like at the time. And people aren't making fun of the actual condition of alopecia in general. As far as I'm concerned with how I experienced what took place in that moment, that it wasn't a people with this are this versus Dave Chappelle commentary about what we've talked about in the past in his trans comedy stuff has been about people who are trans versus people in this moment, a person with a shaved head. So I'm trying to like not say
I think it would just be bad, different though,
but like,
it would
just like, be different just though
if she didn't, if she was, she has been vocal about her issue, her.
Oh, he, so, but he knew right, about it. And I, he had said so, something about so, it before.
Hold on, so no. All I'm saying though is when people are making comments on Facebook posts, on whatever, who are trying to defend free speech, comedians, or whatever, I don't think we should think that what they're trying to do is denigrate this condition. They're not saying that this is not a real condition, it's not a real thing, or that she didn't feel bad. I don't think that's what's happening. In my opinion, most people are not saying this is an issue that we should be constantly mocking or something. No, I just think that it's like for them, when they experienced that from in that exact moment, they contextualized it differently. So I think it is an important conversation to have where we will elevate what, I don't know if it's millions, but many women are facing and probably men as well with this condition. Hopefully the conversation gets further discussed. And Paige, what you said was beautiful and wonderful and totally spot fucking on how hard it is for many people just to get out of bed, to look at themselves in the mirror, to feel that they even recognize who that even is in the mirror, that that's who they want to even present to the world. So I get all that. And I just think like, for me, my opinion is that we can live in a world where many things can be simultaneously. So for me, I want to protect free speech, comics, being able to say stuff that could be in bad taste, that does not land, that does not work, that gets them heckled, that gets them no work because they aren't funny. And I want to allow others to be able to make social commentary that can land and be funny and be successful. So I just think that I would love to think that we could be able to have, you know, both things be true simultaneously, I guess. That's how I, at least, am taking this.
Yeah, I feel like I don't think that people who are in the comment section are necessarily deliberately making fun of women with alopecia. I think that my point more so is that people, as I was saying, nobody is taking the time to think about this empathetically. You can't just separate the fact that this woman is bald because she has alopecia, and she has been very open about that. It's not like he was making a joke about a woman who made a fashion choice that he didn't like, which even still, I'm like, fuck you, dude. Like, you don't know what's going on with her life, you know, and you have no right to comment on her physical appearance. I would still feel that way. Would I be like, he does, you know, would the slap be more confusing then? Absolutely. But like, I don't think that you can, or that you should, because clearly you can. I think people are doing it, and I think that that's a part of the problem, but I don't think that you should separate her circumstance from her experience, because it colors the experience. It is the reason why everything that transpired. So I think to those who are not thinking about it that way, I would encourage them to think a little deeper, to look into the context of things, to you know, think about the experience that they're having as human beings, and the fact that she is going through this, before making comments about Will Smith being forced to sit in a room looking at pictures mm-hmm. of women with bald heads and crazy things like that. Like, yes, I mean, we are the free speech country and the free speech place, but I mean, yeah, oftentimes that is going to breed assholes, and it's going to breed a lot of people saying a lot of unsavory things, and sometimes somebody's going to get popped for it, and I'm not going to feel bad for them.
And the words of 10 things I hate about you.
Nobody holds a gun. No, listen, some of my favorite comedians are people who are fucking, you know, they like, I have good friends who, like, you know, they'll make fun of somebody in the audience, but no one is holding a gun to your head and said, you need to be an insult comic. Like, if you're going to go out there and do it, then you're going to go out there and do it, then you're going to do it. Like, you know what I mean? And whatever comes from that is what comes from it. I'm not saying that they deserve it, or that well, sometimes, maybe in this situation specifically. In this specific situation, it was like, that was very specific to her, to his family, what they were going through. And I think there was more that was like, that we didn't see, really. You know what I mean? We can't tap into exactly what Will Smith was going and feeling and right in that moment, or Jada, or even Chris Rock for that moment.
Or their relationship with Chris Rock and what's been said, you know.
Like, and like what he said before, and like what the conversation might have been between. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
And so, but I'm saying, like, there are people who go to shows. Like, if you go to Kathy Griffin, right? If you go to, like, Jokoi, there are certain, comics you're going to go, and you're probably going, you want to sit in the front row so you can get heckled, maybe, even, because that's a part of their fucking routine. But it's just, I agree with you, in a sense, Zach, because I understand why there should be both. But I also am like, you're choosing to be a comic, an insult comic.
And I think that with comedy, there is a fine line to be towed between comedy and verbal abuse, to be honest with
you. Correct.
And feel like we're in a space where I think we need to start taking verbal abuse as seriously as we take physical abuse, because it is very, very damaging in a different way. And I would say, sometimes more damaging, you know. You hit me in the face and I'm going to heal, but you say the same horrible shit to me every day, and that is going to be psychological trauma that is going to be really hard for me to unlearn and to root out of myself. So I do feel like we have to be careful with it. It's just jokes, because it's like, well, what you're saying about me actually really fucking hurts. And that should mean something. I shouldn't be encouraged to just shrug my pain off because it was just a joke. The joke didn't feel good. If you jokingly hit me in the face, I don't think anybody else would be like, well, just shrug that off because they were joking.
Right.
Yeah, no, everyone's going to be behind me when I say, ow, that hurt. That was not correct.
But even stuff like the most iconic, like, comedians, right? Like I'm reading George Carlin, Robin Williams, Bob Saget, right? All stress the importance of self-deprecation as a form of humor, but never insensitive personal attacks. These mm-hmm. are legends of comedy. I mean, you can't, what are you going to say? You know what I mean? Like, and these also are people like, who are masters.
Like, just to think about it too, I mean, like, the entertainment business is easy enough to poke fun at without singling out people specifically for things they can't control. Yeah. Like, there's plenty to look at and make fun of. And yeah. I just think that it hurts that there's so many people that do just like deal with this all the time and take this on the chin. And like you said, like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith and their kids have just dealt with a lot. And like, it makes me sad that there is, I mean, obviously, but that there's just like this, I don't know, like this, oh, we're just joking. Oh, it's just a joke. La, 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 la. There are plenty of comedians that can make fun of the world. Life is funny enough. You don't have to single people out. Like you
every
don't,
single
no,
year.
No, I know, but like, right? it just, you know what? And hopefully they'll think better about the joke. Like, just don't, like, do better. Do better at writing jokes. If you're going to be in the writer's room for these things, do better. Stop poking at people for things they can't control. It's disgusting. And it's mean. And it's mean and hurtful. I also, I'm going to change the subject real quick because I want to just get this podcast real fast. And then I know, Casey, that we have to go soon.
Yeah, we got
to
jump.
I was really hoping to mention this and maybe we can talk about it more next time because I'm sure that maybe a little bit more will have come out about it. The text messages between Jenny Thomas and her husband's Clarence Thomas, who Clarence Thomas is a sitting justice. It's a real left turn that we're going for topic wise. He's a sitting justice on the Supreme Court. He's a very conservative justice. He is of the Anita Hill trial Hall of Fame or confirmation hearing Hall of Fame. His wife was involved in text messages with Mark Meadows, who was 45's chief of staff during January 6th. And she is very, very like pro the insurrection. Clarence Thomas was the only yes vote for Donald Trump, like not being able to give his records away. So he was the only justice in support of that. And, there is an entire almost 8 hours of a phone record that has been turned over to the January 6th committee from the Trump team and that is missing. So stay tuned because shit's going to get weird. It's going to get really, really nutty.
Wait, text messages are missing, you're saying, or they
no. phone conversation? They're kind of separate highlights about the same issue. So Jenny Thomas, who is Clarence Thomas's wife, was texting with Mark Meadows during the insurrection, and they are very damning text messages. In another issue, they turned over phone call records from that day, and there are almost 8 hours of that day, which coincidentally is during,
of course,
the insurrection.
And before, 2 hours before, too.
Yeah. So it is, it's getting spicy in there.
Wow.
It is getting hot.
How could you imagine that person who had to hand those papers over? Just like, all right, here.
Just like shaking.
Here are all of our papers.
Yeah.
They're in order.
And they've also subpoenaed, I believe they're filing like contempt of court charges against two people for not showing up for their subpoenas. I can't remember who it is. So if you're like me and that is something that interests you and like how this whole thing works, If that's something that interests you, we can talk about it more next time.
Because
there's it's gonna get crazy. It's gonna get crazy, and I don't mean to like completely switch the
No. We needed to. We were wrapping up anyway, and thank you for that preview of coming attraction. So that's great. Listen in for next episode so that we can talk about that madness. But I do want to end on us. Let's all pick somebody and just send love to that person. So pick somebody who you want to just send love to and appreciate today. I am gonna pick, so she's just been on my mind a lot lately. Y'all know I get worried about celebrities that I don't know. I really do. Like, I worry about them and then I pray for them because I just get so concerned. But Regina King, sending so much love to Regina King. She lost her son, and you know, it was a while ago. It was like some months ago, but some months ago in context of losing a child, like it's the worst. It's any parent's nightmare. And so I've just been thinking a lot about her and just hoping that, you know, she is, I'm sure she's not okay, but you know, that she has all the support and the love that she needs and that she is healing. So just sending her loving, healing, peaceful energy today.
I agree with Casey. I think that like being able to send energy to celebrities is really important because oftentimes people forget that they are human beings. It's like if you're a human and you're going through some of your darkest, deepest, horrible things, intimate things that are happening to you, but times 10 on a platform where people can talk about you, stream it, throw it on a video, find every possible picture, get you at the grocery store when you maybe, you know, like not having a good day or something. Like these people are in this industry and they, by the luck of the draw or not luck of the draw, I suppose, have a, you know, are on this like platform. Like you're always like, oh, I wish I was like really that famous, you know what I mean? But you don't know what that comes with.
Right.
Unless you're in those people's shoes. And so I just wanted to go off of what you were doing, which is sending it out to a celebrity. Actually, I was thinking of Chica, who's a rapper who been battling some mental health issues recently. Mm-hmm. And has just been public off and on kind of struggling with some stuff, and I just hope that sending her love and support because she's fucking genius.
Yeah, she is.
Oh my gosh, like, she's so good.
Incredible, she's like so just good. Genius of an artist.
Gosh, she's wonderful.
And we need people like her in this world and in the art world. Yeah. And I hope that she finds whatever she needs to.
Yeah, if anybody out there has not seen her NPR Tiny Desk, watch it.
I was just about to say that. I was just about to be like, brilliant. Go right now.
She's so good.
Listen to her music. All of her stuff is so good. Yeah. She's so good.
Really, 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 truly wonderful.
Paige.
I would like to give a little shout out to, I know we were sending them to celebrities.
Send to whoever.
I'm going to send my good energy. A friend of mine from college has booked, she booked Waitress on Broadway, or not, excuse me, the Broadway show Waitress touring. Her name is Dominique Kent. She is also a person that has alopecia, and I've just been thinking about her a lot this week. She is one of the biggest voices, the most talented humans, the sweetest soul. I just want to send her love and let her know that I don't actually even know if she listens to this podcast, but she always has a fan in me and I think us. So Dom, awesome. You keep killing it. I've seen all the posts about her singing the songs, and it's a song that it's like very dear to my heart. And so I hope one day that I get to see her play this role because her voice is unreal, ridiculous.
That's amazing.
So Dominique Kent, an angel and a queen, and I'm sending all my love to you, baby.
Love that. And we have unfortunately end without the Wiz. He had some technical difficulties, but I'm sure he sends love and light to all of you because he is a very generous and kind and loving human. So as usual, thank you so much for listening. Please like, rate, share, subscribe, and comment. Yeah. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Smile at people. Lead with grace. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Remember that everybody's dealing with something.